Mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. There's been a lot of scrutiny on the health of school cafeteria meals in recent decades, but little to no attention has been paid to the quality of our children's brown bag lunches. Well, researchers recently took a peek inside those bags to find out what the average parent is packing, and the truth isn't exactly appetizing. Boston Globe features writer Beth Tytel wrote about the study and the struggle that parents face when preparing school lunches at home, and she joins us now to put it all on the table. Beth, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, I guess we should establish, do you know how many kids bring a lunch from home rather than get one at the school cafeteria?
Well, that's kind of interesting. It turns out that more than 40% of kids bring a lunch.
Wow.
I don't know what statistic on how many kids actually eat those lunches, but yeah, that's actually part of the reason these researchers at Tufts decided to look into it. I mean, as you said, there has been such intense focus on what the school, what the lunch lady is serving. In fact, you know, such a everybody will remember or has heard that the Reagan administration famously characterized ketchup as a vegetable.
Right.
And more recently, our own Congress has pizza counts as a vegetable because of the tomato sauce. But the Tufts people decided to look into what the parents were packing.
Okay, so what did they find then? What did the researchers find when they looked inside those brown paper bags?
Well, actually, it was kind of, I guess to them, it was sort of surprising because what they found was that none of the lunches, so they studied lunches at 12 schools, undisclosed schools in the eastern part of Massachusetts, and they discovered that none of the lunches met all five of the National School Lunch Program standards. And those standards emphasize fruits and vegetables and whole grains, low or non-fat dairy. So none of them met all five of those standards, but only 27% of them lunches met at least three of the goals. So they had things, and they said that there was a lot of sugary drinks, like sweetened teas, packaged foods. Apparently there were a lot of, what was it, what did the woman tell me? Oh, a lot of gummy fruit snacks were common, she said. Potato chips, cookies.
Yeah, and that's what kind of kills me is that, you know, I understand that, you know, a parent would want to create a lunch that's, you know, sort of diverse. It's got a little bit of the healthy stuff and maybe a snack, a cookie or something like that. But they also discovered a lot of lunches had only bad snacks. There was literally no entree.
That's right. They said almost one in four lacked an entree, such as a sandwich or leftovers. And instead, they were made up, as you were saying, entirely of packaged snacks and desserts. You know what I find kind of interesting? I have kids myself, so this was actually very, very familiar to me, that it's almost like there's this game of lunch brinksmanship that goes on. Who's going to blink first? Because you have the parents who, most parents want their kids to eat healthy food, but the problem is they're afraid that they're not going to eat anything if they only put the healthy food in it, and since they're not standing over them insisting that they do have the carrots or the turkey or whatever they want the kids to eat, they send something else just in case so the child isn't hungry, you know, 9 hours after they return after doing some sports or whatever. But then the kids say they don't have time to eat the healthy food. Somehow it's more time-consuming and only have time for the desserts.
So you think that's probably more of a factor than, say, parents who are rushing in the morning and just don't have time to pack a healthy lunch?
You know, I think, well, I interviewed a sociologist who wrote a book with a great title. It's called It's Not About the Broccoli. And I think the rushing, and she was talking about all the factors that play into it. And what she said was that there was a bunch of things. She said that the goal of nutrition, one, but that's not the only one. She said they don't want their kids to be hungry, or they don't want to have a conflict with their kids, or they want them to be happy, or they've got 12 other kids and other things going on. So I find as a parent, it's not really that packing something healthy takes longer. I think there should be a new unit of time that gets into the psychology of time. It's almost more stressful to be packing something that you know might not be eaten and that might be perishable, so it's going to actually come back. You're putting it in the strawberries, let's say. Then they spend the whole day there, never eaten. They come back wilted. So even though it might not take longer to wash the strawberries and put them in the Tupperware and give them to your child, it feels like it's longer than putting in some pretzels because the pretzels kind of have a happy, not that you don't want the kids to eat them, but they have almost a happy association since that's going to be success in some way since the child will eat it.
Like you're going to bring your kids joy, but if you give them veggies, it's just a waste.
Right, but yeah, exactly. And this one thing that she said was very interesting. So this is the woman, the author of that book called It's Not About the Broccoli. Her name is Dinah Rose. She said that parents make the at least compromise. That's what she called it. She said at least chocolate milk has calcium. At least chicken nuggets have protein. But she said if you think of the cumulative effect of the at least mindset, we're actually teaching our kids the exact opposite habits we want them to have. So she said we're dumbing down their diets and we're pushing their taste buds towards junk and away from healthy food. So sort of like you're doing yourself in day by day by day, but each day you're kind of short, not every parent, of course, but many are short-sighted. Or, you know, this is something I didn't even get into in the article, but it struck me later that, of course, as adults, most people don't have great diets. And some people, in fact, don't even really know what the ideal diet is. It can be confusing. So some parents, I have a feeling, actually don't even know that what they're sending isn't good. Maybe they are actually kind of pleased about it.
Right. We might be just as guilty as that at least mindset as the kids are. So it seems to me, you know, you describe this tug of war, sort of this damned if you do, damned if you don't. You give them vegetables, they don't eat it. You don't give it to them, they don't necessarily get the healthy, well-rounded meal. Well, you even note in your article that there are fewer kids buying these healthier school lunches since those national standards were changed to require more fruits and veggies and less salt and sugar.
You know, that was interesting. That was a study done. You're right. That was a study done by the General Accounting Office in 2012. And yes, in fact, that study found that I think it was a million kids fewer were buying lunches. So that was actually kind of bad for business for the people serving lunches because it was cutting down on business for them. But more recently, a study was done, a smaller study, that found that, in fact, despite initial resistance, more kids actually were accepting these healthy lunches. So it you know, it does make sense in some ways that kids get used to something. Or they, you know, they get hungry.
They'll adjust. If they have to adjust, they're going to eat.
They will adjust. And also the thing is, you know, I do think that sociologist made a good point because if fruit, for example, most children can actually find some fruit that they like. I mean, fruit can be just absolutely terrific. So I think it's both things, the parents kind of almost dooming themselves by thinking, oh, she won't eat fruit, when in fact maybe the kid would if that was all they, that was what they were given.
So any recommendations for the struggling parent? You know, I mean, maybe that recommendation is stop bringing it from home and buy the school lunch.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. That's kind of interesting. The only problem, I think, is that, right, but you then have to make sure your kid's actually eating the healthy thing at the lunch. Like, they could buy the full lunch that has the salad and the fruit, but then not eat the salad and the fruit. I don't think anyone's looked into it at that level. But the one recommendation I did hear that I thought was good was to if you're making lunch, involve your kids in the lunch decisions. So say, tell me some things you think you'd like to eat. And then you come up with it together. So, and you know, it's a mix. And that way maybe the kid would say, well, I don't want turkey, but I actually really do like hummus. Or so you can maybe hit on something that would be acceptable to the child and also healthy.
Well, Beth Tytel, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's a fun topic.